texts 1 through 3 of the 23rd chapter of the 4th canto, entitled Maharaj Prithu's Going Back to Home, Back Home, Back to Godhead, Going to the Spiritual World. So this chapter, the first three verses are together, and they begin to discuss the renunciation of Maharaj Prithu of his kingdom. Because Maharaj Prithu, he was exemplary in every way. He showed how to be the exemplary king, the exemplary ruler, and he encouraged all the citizens to follow in an exemplary way their prescribed duties. So we've heard so much about Maharaj Prithu, and now his final instruction. Here's the translation of 1 through 3. At the last stage of his life, when Maharaj Prithu saw himself getting old, that great soul who was king of the world divided whatever opulence he had accumulated amongst all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. Quite interesting. It's not clear how he did that. But yet, he distributed his opulences. He arranged pensions for everyone according to religious principles. So those who required to be supported by the government were given the proper support. And after executing the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which we heard that he had done perfectly, in complete coordination with him, because this is the specific responsibility of a pure soul, but really of every living entity, to coordinate their consciousness with the consciousness of the Supreme Lord. Again, this is called Bhagavad Dharma, replacing the false sense of being in the center of the universe based on false ego with the actual reality of the situation that Krishna is the center. So to place Krishna within the center of one's life and be consciously considering favorably how to please Krishna, not pratikulena, but anukulena, in a favorable mood to pleasing Krishna, then one executes one's duties, one lives one's life. So this was Prithu Maharaj's great example. So in coordination with him, he dedicated his sons unto the earth, which was considered to be his daughter. What is interesting about that? Quite heavily, too. He was about to kill her. Why? Because she wasn't supplying foodstuffs properly for the citizens. Because it's the ruler's first duty to make sure that the citizens are fed or have enough to eat. So what do we learn from that? The chastisement was completed and she surrendered, and now there was no enmity kept. There was a full forgiveness, and it was completely dropped, the issue in his consciousness. So he dedicated his sons unto the earth, because the sons had the same responsibility. He was passing on his responsibilities to his sons, his five sons. And his responsibility was to the earth and to the citizens who were dwelling on the earth, because ultimately his responsibility was to Krishna. So he passed on all his responsibilities to his sons. He dedicated his sons unto the earth, which was considered to be his daughter. Then Maharaj Prithu left the presence of his citizens, who were almost lamenting and crying from feeling separation from the king, and went to the forest alone with his wife to perform austerities. Now, Prabhupada's purports, we'll read, the plan is to read 10 texts, not that much today. But Marasprithu is going to the forest. He's renouncing his kingship. He's renouncing his ashram, his current ashram as grihastha. And he's becoming vanaprastha. He's living in the van, in the forest. And each of the different ashrams has specific responsibilities, specific duties that they have to concentrate on. In the brahmachari ashram, the specific duty is study, studentship. In the grihastha ashram, it is charity. In the vanaprastha ashram, it is
austerity.
And sannyasa ashram is preaching. So each are austerities in a sense. But specifically, the physical austerities that detach one from the enjoyment, the facility of enjoyment in household life, those are broken in vanaprastha by living in the forest. When one lives at home, in one's house, one attempts to arrange everything according to his needs, his convenience. But in the forest, practically speaking, nothing can be arranged for one's convenience. The forest is the forest. The jungle. Now, we're going to hear about the austerities of Prithumraj. And in Prabhupada's purport, he's going to make a point again and again and again about how to apply this principle of austerity that Marasprithu is going to perform to an extreme degree, because the Kshatriyas were very determined, very extremely determined. They'd focus their mind on accomplishing something and they would do it. Their minds did not waver. So he was focused in incredible austerities, and we'll hear about them. And also at the same time, we should listen very carefully to hear what austerity Prabhupada will recommend for us to practically perform. And there is an austerity. So here is, we'll start with Prabhupada's purport to this text, text 1 through 3, and we'll start in the second paragraph. Fairly long paragraph. Since there were many discrepancies during the reign of King Vena, so there's a little history, a summation of the history, the Lord sent his most confidential devotee, Marasprithu, to settle things. Therefore, after executing the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and settling the affairs of the world, Marasprithu was ready to retire. He had been exemplary in his governmental administration, and now he was to become exemplary in his retirement. He divided all his property amongst his sons and appointed them to rule the world, and then he went to the forest with his wife. It is significant in this connection that it is said that Marasprithu retired alone and at the same time took his wife with him. According to Vedic principles, when retiring from family life, one can take his wife with him, for the husband and wife are considered to be one unit. Thus, they can both combinedly perform austerities for liberation. This is the path that Marasprithu, who is an exemplary character, followed. And this is also the way of Vedic civilization. So what is also the way of Vedic civilization, according to what Prabhupada just said? Yes, but one other point. Austerities for the purpose of?
Liberation.
Yes, liberation. Okay. So one should perform the activities that prepare one for liberation. Austerities that detach one from material life. One should not simply remain at home until the time of death, but should separate from family life at a timely moment and prepare himself to go back to Godhead. That is liberation, going back to Godhead. One should use one's life to prepare for one's next life, especially the end of one's life specifically should be used to prepare one's consciousness to do the same thing that Sanat Kumar in text 21 of the previous chapter recommended to Maharaj Prithu, to become detached from the bodily concept of life and to become attached to Krishna. So especially at the end of one's life, but not only at the end of one's life. Really, as Prahlad Maharaj said, Komara Matsiret Pragyo Daman Bhagavatani Ha Dulubam Manusha Janmatarap Adruvam Artadam. To gain that which is so rare, this human life, and to use it properly. So Komaram Akshiret Pragyo, as soon as one has the realization, as soon as it strikes one what life is for, that is actually the time to begin this process of Bhagavad Dharma, because human life is so rare. But at least at the end of life, as a Shaktivesh incarnation of God who had actually come from Vaikuntha as a representative of Krishna, Maharaj Prithu was certain to go back to Godhead. Nonetheless, in order to set the example in all ways, he also underwent severe austerities in the Tapovan. It appears that in those days there were many Tapovans. Does anyone know any Tapovans that still exist? I know one. You know one? Yes, that's the one I was thinking. Gomukh, on top of Gomukh, Tapovan. I went there on when they were collecting the water on Ganga Devi's appearance day. They're collecting the water for Prabhupada's 100th birth anniversary. And that water is very cold, I will tell you. It has huge ice bergs floating in, and it's so cold you can't tell whether it's hot or cold. It just burns. You've been there? It's cold? And then above that is Tapovan. A Tapovan. And when we were there, there was some IIT students from Kanpur who went charging up to Tapovan, and one of them got altitude sickness, and they carried him down. He carried his body down. He was no longer in it, because the heart doesn't adjust, the body doesn't adjust so easily. But in any case, when we were there, there were these mountain goats right by. Were they? Did you see them? They're up there, and they were clearly, because there was a bunch of people there disturbing their peaceful time, and they were kicking rocks down on everyone. It was quite unique, and you could see that if one doesn't properly get the attachment to Krishna, who knows what one will become in one's next life, even in a holy place. But in any case, there are many Tapovans, not just that one. It appears that in those days there were many Tapovans, or forests especially meant for retirement and the practice of austerities. Indeed, it was compulsory for everyone to go to the Tapovan to fully accept the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For it is very difficult to retire from family life and at the same time remain at home. So what was he trying to do, or what was the purpose of the Tapovan? To attain the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just to perform austerities, but to gain that shelter. So what was the final instruction? It is good to note this at this time and keep aware of this principle of what Maharaj Prithu was doing. What was the final instruction in the last two verses that were given to him by the four Kumaras?
Yes.
Especially that taking shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, prapadye and bhajam bhajavasudevam, but to gain his shelter, and that is so important to do before the time of death, because the mind's tendency is to take shelter of what it's attached to, and what this crazy mind isn't attached to in this material world. Any nonsense. So the purpose of the austerities is to break the attempt of the mind, habituated to take shelter of durasrai, false things that cannot actually give shelter, like holding on to the tail of a dog who is swimming in the ocean and expecting the dog to pull us across and feeling sheltered by the dog's swimming power and our holding on to his tail. Obviously, how foolish. So what is worthy of shelter? The boat of the lotus feet of the Lord with its lotus-like toes. So practice, practice, practice. Neglecting the mind. But gaining shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Very difficult to do that in family life. To retire and be there at the same time. Fourth text. So after retiring from family life, Prithu Maharaj strictly followed the regulations of retired life and underwent severe austerities in the forest. He engaged in these activities as seriously as he had formerly engaged in leading the government and conquering everyone. In other words, that same determination of mind, that same seriousness of purpose that he had applied to ruling the country, the state, according to the principles of Shastra, that same determination he applied to performing his austerities and gaining the shelter of Krishna. Very serious. Prabhupada's purport. As it is necessary for one to become very active in family life, similarly, after retirement from family life, it is necessary to control the mind and senses. This is possible when one engages himself fully in the devotional service of the Lord. So this is what the four Kumaras were explaining, that sense enjoyment and material desires, they suck away one's consciousness. They minimize one's consciousness, as opposed to expand one's consciousness. This is the reinforcements are going. Actually, the whole purpose. So what is the process? Again, what is the process of controlling the senses and controlling the mind? Devotional service, Prabhupada just said. So Sanat Kumar also said that again and again, that the positive taste in Krishna consciousness. And what's the verse that was quoted again and again? And the beginning of the verse? See how hard it is even to focus on listening when something interesting and somewhat noisy is going on outside the mind. It goes right out the door. Is that a rickshaw horn or something? What is that sound? It's a bull. And what's he up to? Is he free? Yes. Is he trying very hard? Huh? Yeah, they've captured him. So the mind is very hard to control like that. Huh? And especially if we're not serious in doing so. And then, if it's attached to material things at the time of death, then it becomes wild, and especially if it's not trained, the bull of the mind isn't trained properly in youth, it's very, very, very wild, and it makes wild sounds all the time, and it demands our attention. Demands that we do what it says. And it's going, the mind isn't just going to say, oh, you want me to be attached to Krishna? You want, okay, very good idea. No. It keeps, its business practically is to keep us in the material world. So therefore, austerity is required. But it's possible to control the mind if one engages himself fully in the devotional service of the Lord. Just like when you're, if you're trying to control that bull, you have to fully pull it. If you give it some slack, it's going to run, and it's going to use that and pull like anything. It has to be fully done. Fully. Actually, Prabhupada continues, the whole purpose of the Vedic system, the Vedic social order, is to enable one to ultimately return home, back to Godhead. The Grihastha ashram is a sort of concession, combining sense gratification with a regulative life. It is to enable one to easily retire in the middle of life and engage fully in austerities in order to transcend material sense gratification once and for all. So why does Prabhupada say here in the middle of life? Is he just changed the system or made it earlier? And sometimes he says at the end of life. Why does he say in the middle of life? Here. In what period? No, but it says that retire in the middle of life. Why does he say the middle of life? 50. So this is the theoretical, you're living to 100. 25 years brahmachari, theoretically, 25 years householder, theoretically, then 25 years vanaprastha, theoretically, and then 25 years sannyas, theoretically. So in that sense, it's the middle of life. It is to enable one to easily retire in the middle of life and engage fully in austerities in order to transcend material sense gratification once and for all. Therefore, in the vanaprastha stage of life, tapasya or austerity is strongly recommended. He's not surrendering very easily, is he? The mind does not like to be tied up and restricted at all. So now we're going to hear, we've heard about the importance of austerity, and that this great soul practiced it. Now, what austerities did he practice? And what is Prabhupada going to recommend that we practice? In Tapovan, Maharaj Prito sometimes ate the trunks and roots of tree. I assume meaning the trunks, meaning the bark. And sometimes he ate fruit and dry leaves. And for some weeks he drank only water. Finally, he lived simply by breathing air. Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, yogis are advised to go to a secluded place in the forest and live alone in a sanctified spot there. By Prithu Maharaj's behavior, we can understand that when he went to the forest, he did not eat any cooked food sent from the city by some devotees or disciples. As soon as one takes a vow to live in the forest, he must simply eat roots, tree trunks, fruits, dried leaves, or whatever nature provides in that way. So first, very heavy austerity of not eating according to one's sensitivity of tongue, but eating whatever is provided by nature in the forest, the leaves, the roots, etc. The etc. isn't very long. Leaves, fruits in season only. Dried leaves, the bark of trees. And we hear that when Even when Gaukashodas Babaji Maharaj would, and great Paramhamsas would go in Vrindavan, and they didn't want to bother begging food or eating something, they would sometimes eat some Yamuna sand and just drink some Yamuna water just to put something in the stomach so it wouldn't cause hunger, the symptoms of hunger. Jiva Goswami also. And what do you think the tongue is going to be doing at that time? Oh, very good. Another helping of sand, please. No, it's going to be saying, what are you doing here in the forest? If you were home, okay, you want to stay in the forest? Send a message. Everyone knows that you're here. They'll send so much food for you. Stay in the forest, but at least eat properly. Maintain your health. So you can prosecute your Krishna consciousness. You know, so many things the mind will weave and weave and weave. Yes. It doesn't like to be restricted. It just wants to do what it wants. Sometimes he lived on nothing but air, and sometimes he ate some fruits from the trees. In this way he lived in the forest and underwent severe austerity, especially in regard to eating. In other words, overeating is not at all recommended for one who wants to progress in spiritual life. Srila Rupa Goswami also warns that too much eating and too much endeavor, atyarhara prayasascha, are against the principles by which one can advance in spiritual life. It is also notable that according to Vedic injunction, to live in the forest is to live in the mode of complete goodness, whereas to live in the city is to live in the mode of passion, and to live in a brothel or drinking house is to live in the mode of ignorance. However, to live in a temple is to live in Vaikuntha, which is transcendental to all the modes of material nature. Prabhupada used to say this as well. What does it mean? To live in the temple is to live in Vaikuntha. It's a house, perhaps. It's made of bricks or marble. So many houses are made of bricks and marble. Why is it Vaikuntha? What is the specific quality of Vaikuntha? Yes, and everyone is working for Krishna's pleasure. And this is the key for a temple that... Or a community. Prabhupada said about a community, everyone should rally around the deities. The deities are the center. Krishna has to be the center. And everyone's business, therefore, is to please Krishna. And then it's Bhagavad Dharma. Pleasing Krishna. He has to be in the center. Then it's the spiritual world. The Krishna consciousness movement affords one the opportunity to live in the temple of the Lord, which is as good as Vaikuntha. Consequently, a Krishna conscious person does not need to go to the forest and artificially try to imitate Maharaj Prithu or the great sages and munis who used to live in the forest. Srila Rupa Goswami, after retiring from his minister's seat in the government, went to Vrindavan and lived beneath a tree, like Maharaj Prithu. Since then, many people have gone to Vrindavan to imitate Rupa Goswami's behavior. Instead of advancing in spiritual life, many have fallen into material habits, and even in Vrindavan have become victims of illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. The Krishna consciousness movement has been introduced in the Western countries, but it is not possible for Westerners to go to the forest and practice the severe austerities which were ideally practiced by Prithu Maharaj or Rupa Goswami. However, Westerners or anyone else can follow in the footsteps of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur by living in a temple which is transcendental to residence in a forest and to vow to accept Krishna Prasad. So these 2 points. And nothing else. Follow the regulative principles and chant 16 rounds daily of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In this way, one's spiritual life will never be disturbed. So what is the recommendation that Prabhupada is making here? Eat prasadam only. Live in temple and chant 16 rounds. So it sounds like Prabhupada is making Compromise? Why compromise? I wouldn't have thought of that word, but why do you think compromise?
Compared to what it is like to be in the forest and the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, make it practical. But something else. Very oversimplifying in some senses. Is this what he really wants? That all we have to do, live in a temple, eat prasadam, chant 16 rounds a day? So simple. Is that all we have to do? This is the basic, bottom, minimum. Listen to what Prabhupada will say, not in the next purport, but perhaps soon. But anyway, this is very important, and it is proved so difficult even to do these basic things that so few people have survived with the ability to do the basic things. In fact, but this is the basics. Follow the principles. 16 rounds a day. Live in a temple, holy place. Eat only prasadam. Basics. So there's, in the remainder of the purports we'll read, there's going to be two things going on. Parallel. What Preeti Maharaj is doing, and Prabhupada extracts the principle of that, of what he's doing. Principle, austerity, live in a away from the city and sense gratification, and ideally in a holy place. Chant Hare Krishna, detach from material life, attach to Krishna. Principle, but how what Preeti Maharaj can do, how he applies that principle, is not how we can apply that principle. We don't have that ability. I used to, when I was a teenager practically, when I would see a vast forest in the distance, I would think, what would happen if I would just leave my life behind and walk into that forest and never return? And now I know what would happen. I would die very quickly. I couldn't do it, practically speaking, actually speaking. So Prabhupada takes the principle, detachment and attachment, that Preeti Maharaj, in gaining the shelter of Krishna, and his purports, he's going to preach to us, give us instructions from Prabhupada to us, how to apply the principle to our life. So he's begun already. Text 6. Following the principles of forest life and the footsteps of great sages and munis, Preeti Maharaj accepted 5 kinds of heating processes during the summer season, exposed himself to torrents of rain in the rainy season, and in the winter stood in water up to his neck. And in a tapovan, you can be sure it wasn't. Maybe, now sometimes there are hot water, but the hot water is just as hard to tolerate. The hot springs is just as hard to tolerate as the cold, but this is cold water in the winter. The heat is for the summer. In other words, what is the mind going to be saying? Get out of here. Get warm in the winter. Get cool in the summer. No, I will neglect my mind. I will focus and take shelter of Krishna. He also used to simply lie down on the floor to sleep. Purport. These are some of the austerities executed by the jnanis and yogis who cannot accept the process of bhakti yoga. They must undergo such severe types of austerities in order to become purified from material contamination. Panchatapa refers to 5 kinds of heating processes. One is enjoined to sit within a circle of fire with flames blazing from 4 sides and the sun blazing directly overhead, and it gets hot. This is one kind of panchatapa recommended for austerity. Similarly, in the rainy season, one is enjoined to expose himself to torrents of rain in the winter, to sit in cold water to the neck. As far as bedding is concerned, the ascetic should be content with simply lying on the floor. The purpose for undergoing such severe austerities is that text 21 in chapter 22, detachment from the bodily concept of life, attachment to Krishna. So therefore it is to become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as explained in the next verse, and the next verse, text 7. Tatiksha, tolerating, yata, controlling, vak, words, danta, the senses, udvareta, without discharge of semen, jitti anila, controlling the life air, so practice of yoga, ari radya yishu, simply desiring Krishnam, Krishna, Lord Krishna. So the negative, the mind's attachment to all the things, all the material attachments that we have built up, is the attempt is to break it and transfer attachment, as Kapila Muni explained, to Krishna. Attached to Krishna. This is just the instructions given by Sanat Kumar, practiced throughout his life, and now here at the end. Achare tapa uttama. So this is the practice, this is the best practice of austerity. Maharaj Prithu underwent all these severe austerities in order to control his words and his senses, to refrain from discharging his semen, and to control the life air within his body. All this he did for the satisfaction of Krishna. He had no other purpose. He did what he did for the satisfaction of Krishna. This, again, is Bhagavad Dharma. This is the essence. Ihan Bhagavatan Ihad. What? No, that's not what, the one I was thinking of again. Komaram Acharet Pradyot. Bhagavat. Not. No? Okay. Komaram Acharet Pradyot Dharman Bhagavatam Iha. So he did this for the satisfaction of Krishna. Krishna was in the center. It wasn't for powers of some sort or to become austere. It was to build up his attachment to Krishna. That's the principle. How will Prabhupada take that principle and apply it to something that we can do? Because we cannot perform austerities like that. Purport. In Kali Yuga, the following is recommended. Hareya Nama, Hareya Nama, Hareya Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Gatiyana Yatta. In order to be recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should chant the holy name of the Lord continuously, 24 hours a day. So this is more or less directly after what Prabhupada said about just live in the temple, eat prasadam, and chant 16 rounds a day. But if one wants to be recognized by Krishna, attain the higher platform, one should know that it's quite a bit more than just 16 rounds a day. One has to chant continuously to be recognized by Krishna. The shelter that we attain has to be complete. One has to take shelter of Krishna and Krishna's names. So the basic minimum was given, and now the topmost platform is given, what we should aspire for. This is a devotee. One who is devoted continuously. Not, well, finish my rounds today. Newspaper or whatever. I mean, I don't mean to criticize anyone. I'm guilty. But sheltered by Krishna. The mind doesn't take shelter of Krishna for some time to some degree and then run somewhere else. Because that bull-like mind doesn't want to come back unless you have, if you've noticed, it doesn't like the restriction. But when one gets the taste, as Preetamaraj said, then one longs for hundreds of ears and hundreds of mouths. Then the shelter is complete. And that's the only way one can chant continuously, in fact. And one should not imitate. Unfortunately, persons who cannot accept this formula prefer to execute some type of pseudo-meditation without accepting the other process of austerity. The fact is, however, that one must accept either the severe method of austerity described above to become purified, or take to the process of devotional service recommended for pleasing the Supreme Lord Krishna. The person who is Krishna conscious is most intelligent, because in Kali Yuga it is not at all possible to undergo such severe austerities. We need only follow great personalities like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his Shikastak, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, all glories to the holy name of Lord Krishna, which from the very beginning purify the heart and immediately liberate one. Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam. And if the real purpose of all yoga is to please Lord Krishna, then this simple bhakti yoga system recommended for this age is sufficient. It is necessary, however, to engage constantly in the service of the Lord. Although Preetamaraj executed his austerities long before the appearance of Lord Krishna on the planet, his purpose was still to please Krishna. So here is a standard that's so high. And here is the basic that Prabhupada explained. So we should try gradually to make our progress and not think that the basic is everything. Yet we can't be disappointed or shouldn't be disappointed that we're not on that platform. Instead of being disappointed, what should we be?
Aspiring.
And?
Perseverant.
I was thinking of humble. We're not on that platform, but here we are, just full with a bullish mind, just going everywhere, refusing to do the right thing, longing to do the wrong thing, longing to fulfill material desires, averse to the shelter of Krishna's name. So we should be perseverant, enthusiastic, etc. What other exalted qualities were named? And confidence. These are the basic principles Rupa Goswami said. But we should be humble. We are not there. We're just here. And if we don't have the consciousness to be humble, then Krishna, out of his kindness, will award us circumstances that will make us understand that we are tiny and insignificant. That is his kindness. It's the equilibrating way that the material nature is organized by Krishna's mercy, to teach us that we are insignificant, even though we conceive of ourselves as the center of the universe and so important and central to everything, and everything revolves around me. And if I wasn't there, look what Preetamaraj did. He's the king. And the kingdom went on without him. Everyone lamented, because everyone loved him, but it went on without him. And we think, if I leave, if I don't, everything will fall apart. This is an inflated conception of who we are. We're insignificant. So Krishna will so kindly teach us that. In death, we will be forced out anyway. And things will go on, or they won't go on. But generally, they do go on. Prabhupada continues this point about the proper austerity and the proper way to gain Krishna's shelter. He says, and perhaps in the middle of the last paragraph to this purport, to 7, we should therefore not be discouraged just because we cannot go to the forest and practice severe austerities. Our life is so short that we must strictly adhere to the principles laid down by the Vaishnavacharyas and peacefully execute Krishna consciousness. There is no need to become despondent that we can't just peacefully proceed wherever we are according to the instructions of the Acharyas. Narottama Das Thakur recommends Anande Balohari Bhajavindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. For a transcendental blissful life, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, come, worship the holy place of Vrindavan, and always engage in the service of the Lord, of the spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas. That should be the motto of our life. Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan sri guru vaishnava pade majayaman. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore very safe and easy. We have only to execute the order of the Lord and fully surrender unto Him. That word, only, it's a big word in 4 letters. In other words, focused on just following the instructions given by the 4 Kumaras. Just attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, place Him in the center. We have only to execute the order of the spiritual master, preach Krishna consciousness, and follow in the path of the Vaishnavas. The spiritual master represents both Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Therefore, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be all right. So don't become despondent, don't become inflated, and don't become despondent. Just accept, I am what I am, let me follow and take shelter of Krishna. Anande bolo hari bhajabindavan sri guru vaishnava pade majayaman. 8. By thus practicing severe austerities, Maharaj Prithu gradually became steadfast in spiritual life and completely free of all desires for fruitive activities. So what austerities did Prabhupada recommend? Especially chanting Hare Krishna, cleansing the consciousness, completely free of all desires for fruitive activities. He also practiced breathing exercises, pranayama, to control his mind and senses, and by such control he became completely free from all desires for fruitive activities. Prabhupada speaks about pranayama. Oh, first he speaks again about the only means of elevation is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then about pranayama. As far as pranayama is concerned, chanting of the holy names of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy are also considered pranayama. In a previous verse, Sanat Kumar, one time I was with one devotee and he said, I just got this new exercise. And he showed me this. You ever see those small trampolines? Maybe this big. And you jump up and down on them. And then he said, and they say it's even better if you put your hands in the air. Because then the heart moves and the lymphatic. So what is that?
just jumping up and down with your hands, and you might as well just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
So that is pranayama. Sanat Kumar instructed Maharaj Prita to engage constantly in the service of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Yad para pankaja palasa valasa bhaktya karma sayan gratititam udrantan yanti shanta. Only by worshipping Vasudev can one be free from the desires of fruitive activities. Outside of worshipping Vasudev, the yogis and jnanis cannot attain freedom from such desires. Tadvad narikta matayo yatayo pirudha shotos ganastam maranam badavasudevam. Here the word pranayam does not refer to any ulterior motive. The actual aim is to strengthen the mind and senses in order to engage them in devotional service. In the present age, this determination can be very easily acquired simply by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. 9. Thus, Sanat Kumar Bhagavan. Sanat Kumar, who is most powerful, yat aha adhyadhyatmikam yogam tanaiva purusham abhajat. Abhajat means worship. Purusha Rishabha, the best of human beings. Thus, the best amongst human beings, Maharaj Prithu, follow the path of spiritual advancement, which is advised by Sanat Kumar. That is to say, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll read the last paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. Actually, one who is self-realized engages himself in the service of the Lord perpetually. What's the difference between perpetually and continuously in English? Yes? I can't hear. I would say continue, like you, I could sing continuously for 5 minutes, but perpetually means unendingly. Yes, there is no end to it. So, one who is self-realized engages himself in the service of the Lord perpetually, forever, because he realizes that he's his self. As Krishna's servant, both in this life and the next. Indeed, for devotees, there is no difference between this life and the next. In this life, a neophyte devotee is trained to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in the next life, he approaches the Supreme Person in Vaikuntha and renders the same devotional service. Even for the neophyte devotee, devotional service is considered Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Devotional service to the Lord is never considered a material activity. Since he is acting on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, a devotee is already liberated. He therefore has no need to practice any type of yoga in order to approach the Brahma-Bhuta stage. If the devotee adheres strictly to the orders of the spiritual master, follows the rules and regulations, and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, it should be concluded that he is already at the Brahma-Bhuta stage, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mam chayo vibhacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatit yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who is engaged in full devotional service. When Prabhupada says it, it sounds very simple. But one who is engaged in full devotional service, because his order, the order of the spiritual master, is meant us to engage us continuously. So one who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, so continuously, at once sagunan samatitaita, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. And the final text we shall read today. So Maharaj Prithu, Bhagavat Dharmina Sadhyo, One who executes devotional service, sado of the devotee, shraddhaya with faith, yatata endeavoring, sada always, bhakti, executing devotional service, always endeavoring in bhakti. Bhaktir bhavati brahmanya brahmani. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of impersonal Brahman, ananya vishaya, firmly fixed without deviation, abhavat, became. Maharaj Prithu thus engaged completely in devotional service, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to principles 24 hours a day. Thus his love and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna developed and became unflinching and fixed. Prabhupada's purport. The word Bhagavad Dharmina indicates that the religious process practiced by Maharaj Prithu was beyond all pretension. What does that mean? Beyond all pretension. He practiced Bhagavad Dharmina beyond all, with no pretension. False ego. How is false ego pretension? What does pretension mean?
Yeah,
insincere, hypocritical, pretending to try to please Krishna, but actually, I'm keeping myself in the center. I really want to please me. So he practiced it, was beyond all pretensions, because he did it to please Krishna. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 112, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra, religious principles which are simply pretensions are actually nothing but cheating. Bhagavad Dharmina is described by Vraghava Acharya as Nivritta Dharmina, which indicates that it cannot be contaminated by material aspirations. There is no material aspiration in there. I don't want anything on the material level. I want to please Krishna. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, Anya Vilasita Sunyam Gyanakama Anavrita Anakulena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Uttama. So this is the definition of pure devotional service. Basically without pretension, trying to please Krishna. When one who is not inspired by material desires and is not contaminated by the processes of fruitive activity and empiric speculation fully engages in the favorable service of the Lord, his service is called Bhagavad Dharma, or pure devotional service. In this verse, the word Brahmani does not refer to the impersonal Brahman. Impersonal Brahman is a subordinate feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And since impersonal Brahman worshippers desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence, they cannot be considered followers of Bhagavad Dharma because they want to become one with the Lord. They are serving. The service is to gain something. It is not simply to please Krishna. Okay. We'll stop here. Since there was Prabhupada emphasized in his purports the chanting of Krishna's names as the austerity and the practice of purifying the heart, I wanted to read Srila Rupa Goswami's eight prayers, Namastak, glorifying the holy name. Please listen. O Hari Nam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Sukadeva, O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. Now, as you're listening, any points, I'll ask at the end what points from these eight texts have stuck in your mind. When I finish. O Harinam, O names sung by the sages, O transcendental syllables that bring bliss to the people, even if you are spoken only once, and even if you are spoken disrespectfully, you at once remove the many harsh sufferings of everyone. O Son of the Holy Name, S-U-N, Son of the Holy Name, what does it mean when he's saying, O Son of the Holy Name? The sun arising, when the Holy Name is arising. Even the dim light of your early dawn gives the sight of pure devotion to they who are blind to the truth. What learned person in this world is able to describe your transcendental glories? The Vedas declare that although meditation on impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from past karma, O Holy Name, your appearance at once makes all karma disappear. O Holy Name, I pray that my love for you in your many forms, such as Agama Damana, the crusher of Agasura, Yasoda Nandana, the son of Yasoda, Nanda Shuno, son of Nanda, Kamalayana, O lotus-eyed, Gopi Chandra, moon of the Gopis, Brindavanendra, king of Brindavan, Pranata Karuna, merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna, I pray that my love for you in your many forms may greatly increase. O Holy Name, you are manifest in two forms. One, the Supreme Person described by the Holy Name, and two, the sound vibration of the Holy Name. We know that the second, the sound vibration of the Holy Name, is more merciful than the first. Even a person who commits many offenses to the first form may become always plunged into an ocean of bliss by serving the second with his voice. O name that destroys the many sufferings of they who take shelter of you, O name that is the form of delightful and intense spiritual bliss, O name that is a festival of happiness for Gokul, O perfect and complete holy name of Lord Krishna, I bow down and offer my respects to you. I bow down and offer my respects to you. O life of Narada's Veena, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy name of Lord Krishna, please sweetly appear on my tongue. Catch anyone's attention in those prayers of Srila Rupa Goswami? Yeah. He prays to him that he's a person. Thank you. Supreme person. Anything else? Yes.
Please run from all the suffering, and even though liberation even through Brahma again cannot remove Prarabdha karma, the Holy Name removes Prarabdha karma. And it is very beautiful, and it is very merciful, even more merciful than, even though it's no different from Krishna himself, it's more merciful than Krishna, Vacha and Vachaka.
In this regard, there seems to be a difference in the name. Not necessarily Nam, it's not from Nam, Nam, we know. But we know that the name is more merciful than the Lord.
Yes. Right. Thank you.
With bliss and ecstasy, the residents of the world.
The Holy Name gives bliss and ecstasy to the residents of Gokul.
The first light that arises from the sun, the Holy Name can give rise to devotion to the Supreme Person.
Yeah, not even the full rising. Is that wrong? Did it say what? Let's see what, exactly what it said there. O holy name, O son of the holy name, even the dim light of your early dawn gives the sight of pure devotion to they who are blind to the truth. Any other on the holy name?
It's the light of Narada's Narada's being.
Thank you.
But when I turn to the holy name itself, the love for the holy name increases.
Love for the holy name increases by chanting.
The essence of all the instructions and the intentions.
Yes.
The funny side speaks of the crown gems of the Vedas. Adorn the tips of the lotus feet of the holy name.
So they're gems, they're jewels, and they're decorating. The Upanishads are decorating the Lord's feet of the holy name. So it's interesting when one thinks of the holy name having feet that are adorned with jewels. Say again?
Holy name is always residing in that place where the holy glorify the name of God. Where is Bhagavan?
So therefore, Prabhupada was stressing that we take shelter of Krishna's holy name from 16 rounds a day to continuous. And we should take shelter of Krishna's holy name and travel that ground. Any other questions or comments? But his austerities were to facilitate his chanting of Harinam, specifically. Good? Which is very different from these kinds of harsh austerities, which are to stop the mind from its material cravings.
Yes. What I was trying to say is that...
Yeah. So Prabhupada actually said he performed austerities to begin his preaching.
Yes. But my point is, you think it's from the simple level, can you do such a thing? Might not be that long, but at some point in time, to really...
I would say it depends on the devotee and what his mission is and what his spiritual master ordered him to do. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura was very fixed. And he also criticized those who go for solitary bhajan.
Yes.
Vaishnava K. What kind of Vaishnava are you?
Yes. That has to be
very So if you have a general question, in other words, something very specific for a particular devotee who it may help, but phrased as a general question, should devotees do this? Then it becomes very difficult to answer.
Yes.
Because should some devotees who Krishna wants to do it, okay, then it becomes really easy to answer. An heir even sometimes.
And Prabhupada gave us prosperity of the Guru Prasad. So how do you feel?
But only prasad. Only prasad. Eating nothing but Krishna prasad. And that we see is difficult to do year after year after year after year. The tongue doesn't want any restriction. So we should take the path chalked by our acharyas and commit ourselves to that path. But he also, Prabhupada also said in a purport that overeating is not healthy for a devotee. So the proper amount of Krishna prasad, that's what, and then first austerity, only Krishna prasad. Second austerity, the proper amount, don't overeat. And talk about Krishna only. Then the austerities are increasing.
When one is not inspired by material desires and is not contaminated by the processes of food activity and guilt speculation, and fully engages in the favorable service of the Lord. The service is called Bhagavad Dharma, or pure devotional service. So he seems to be pointing out that Vipul Maharaj was performing pure devotional service. At the same time, we see that although his motives were purely satisfying Krishna, the methods he was using were characteristic of
Jnana Yoga. Yes.
And before that, of Karma Yoga. So, does it mean that pure devotional service may have elements of the processes of Ashtanga Yoga and Hatha Yoga?
One element of this in answering that question is, this is not what's the recommended path for Kali Yuga. He wasn't performing these in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, it's nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. Karma, jnana, yoga. So, that's one way to answer the question. But our Banamali Gopo, who was telling me yesterday of one Zoroastrian devotee, who came through the process of yoga. And he was a very powerful, powerful yogi. But then he entered coming in touch with the Ramanuja Sampradaya. He ended up being a very great devotee. Now whether he continued his practices of yoga or not, no. Then he gave them up. Even in Madhurya Bhava, quite astounding. So these aren't the methodologies that one uses in Kali Yuga. We can't actually make the kind of advancement generally, in a general way, through these processes. We just should stick to the powerful, all-attractive holy name and take shelter of the holy name. The difficulty is if we try to take shelter of too many different things, we end up with no shelter. So we should take shelter of Krishna's holy name. Krishna's holy books, Krishna's association of devotees, holy place, and holy form. Bhagavatam. Yes.
Earlier on, Prabhupada refers to Maharaj Sripa's activities as Karma Yoga. And then he said, of course, one who offers all the results is a sannyas.
But he's at different times Prabhupada is speaking on different levels, because he's also said that this great soul has come from Vaikuntha and he's going back to Vaikuntha, so he's not obviously practicing on a lower level of karma yoga where he's trying to develop detachment from the fruits of his work, but it's as if practicing karma yoga. Externally it appears like karma yoga. Did that answer satisfy your question, or not really? Okay, that's it now. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Pitumaraj ki jai.